Good morning. Our New Testament reading or text is taken from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. This is the word of God. I'm so pleased to be with you and to be able to share again the word of God. I give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I honor the esteemed pastor of this church, Dr. George Roberts, in his absence. And I trust, oh God, that he'll enjoy this time off. I know it's very hard for us to just relax. When you relax or go someplace to relax, you got your Bible, doing Bible study and doing all kinds of things except relaxing. And I just pray that George will get a chance to relax wherever he might be in the Lord. Now, I shared this morning, and I'm so happy to share with you again, that I can't see you out there right now very well. And I asked the congregation this morning not to make faces at me. Now, I don't, if you do, my wife is out there, I'll ask her when the service is over, did anyone make faces at me? Someone in the last service said to me, I want you to know. I said, what's that? I didn't make any faces at you. I appreciated that. I'm having some eye trouble, and the reason why I'm telling you this, I want you to be in prayer for me. I'll go to the doctor this week and see about maybe the operation by the end of this week to repair totally detached retina that I have, and one eye and the other eye, I've got this shunt to relieve pressure. So right now, I see a big cloud. It's almost, I think it's going to be like this in heaven. Clouds and clarity, and people of every nation, kindred, tongues, and we'll all be in God's place together, worshiping God. And I think this is a prelude to that right now. But I think the one difference is that we will all see with clarity. We see dimly right now. We see darkly. But then as we see him face to face, we'll see as we should see. This word is a very important word to me, because this word, along with just sharing the word with you, I tie in just a little testimony of where I was 45 years ago. And this book of Ephesians is the book that blessed me, with the Apostle Paul in his salutation writing to the believers at Ephesus. I know that some of the older manuscripts, like the Aleph and the Beth documents, don't have in Ephesus. This is a general letter, a general epistle written to the saints. And we'll talk about some of these things. But I just believe God enough to know that what God intends to be in his word is in his word. I told a class of mine one time that God gave us special revelation. That's what the word of God is. He took time to tell us what he wanted us to know. And everything we need from earth to heaven is in this book. And so I just know that whatever's in here is for us. Paul writes to these believers, and he says in a very kind way, because if you read the first chapter of Galatians, you'll find that Paul wasn't so kind with people who questioned his apostleship. We are all sent on a mission by God. We are not apostles like the biblical apostles, because these apostles, Paul said, out of due season, he saw God. He was commissioned by Christ himself for this mission. And as an apostle, made up of two Greek words, apostello, one who is sent out, he was sent out with all the authority, the ecclesia of God. He was sent with authority to speak the word of God. One of the things I didn't talk about is that the fact that the apostles did miracles, but the miracles were not to bring people to Christ. We don't do miracles. We teach the word. We preach the word. We share the word. And there's power in the word. And therefore, when the apostle Paul and those other apostles went out, they did miracles, but the miracles authenticated the messenger. He's from God. Look at what he's doing. John uses the term Simeon, a sign. These were signs to those who heard that these men were sent from God. And so when Paul speaks of his apostleship, he says here that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. If you go to Galatians, he says, I wasn't given this by man. I wasn't given this authority by man. But his authority came from God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he goes out on that authority. And you and I can go wherever we go. I heard of some of the people who went on missions here that I spoke to today. They went out with the authority of the word. I like to believe that the church sent them. The church laid hands on them and prayed for them and blessed them. And speaking of that, please be in prayer for me. I don't know whether I asked you to bless and pray for me, but I believe in prayer. And I trust the doctors. I know we have a few doctors out here. I trust you, but I trust him more. And I know that you can heal and wash your hands and do what you do and then say, I've taken this as far as I can go. And I'm here to tell you that I believe that Jesus can take and will take it the rest of the way. So no matter what we're going through, I've found out that there are people going through a lot worse and a lot more. So Paul writes this epistle, this general letter to the saints, which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful, same group. Let me just tell you about saints, because somehow people have the idea that saints are some sinless folk that hover, that didn't walk on the ground. Paul and Peter and James and John and all those saints that we call saints. And you, put your name in there too. Saints are just forgiven people. Not perfect. I heard Dr. Tony Evans say some years ago that we are all saints with sinners' problems. You wonder why we can still do some of the crazy things we do and say some of the crazy things we say. When we operate under self, that's what we do. That's who we are. So when I see someone acting not so straight out there, I understand where they're coming from. They're coming from self. When we operate in the flesh, we do the things of the flesh. And so a saint is not someone who is sinless, but someone who is forgiven. Are you forgiven today? I hope you are. If you're under the sound of my voice this day, I pray to God above all else that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. He wrote this to the saints which are at Ephesus. I'm reminded of the kinds of people that God used who we call saints. Over in the Old Testament, you remember Job. Someone says that Job was the most patient person in the Bible. Well, if you really know your Bible, you understand that that's not true. Job lost patience, and Job began to complain. Do you ever complain? I do. And I don't want anyone speaking to my wife after I complained a lot, and perhaps still do. I don't want to make you think it's in the past. We find things to complain about. And I had someone right here today, or someone who called and reminded me that you can see a little. Think of those people who can't see at all. And then I begin to smile and thank God. You know, Lord, you're not finished with me yet. I do want my sight. I'd like to see with clarity. I like to see the beauty. And, of course, people who are blind would like that too. But Job lost patience. And God had to ask Job one day, where were you? Where were you when I called this world? And where were you, Job? And Job couldn't even answer. That's one of those rhetorical questions of deliberation. You can hear the question, but you can't speak on that. You just think about it. What about Jacob? Jacob is one of my favorites because Jacob, there's so many Old Testament writings about Jacob. I just pulled out one in the book of Psalms. There are many, but in Psalm 146, it says this, but I want you to think about what it's saying. Of all the people in the Old Testament, the psalmist writes, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob to help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Now, why all those Old Testament personalities would the psalmist go back to Jacob? God changed him from Jacob to Israel. Your name will no longer be Jacob. The word Jacob is one who takes by trickery, one who's a shyster, one who grabs the heel. Jacob, if it was a way of getting it smoothly, Jacob could do it. And yet my Bible says, happy is that man whose God is the God of Jacob. Why not Daniel? We don't know of anything that said bad about Daniel. And yet our Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We are men and women prone to sin, prone to think wrong. And the sin is not always connected with what we do. So if we want to sit and say, well, I don't do this, you may not. But there are some things you don't do. It's not what you do. I don't do that. I don't do that. But then there are some things you should be doing. I don't want to sin not praying for you. I'd like to see things different in this world than the way they're going right now. But I know he said this. I may be jumping a little ahead of myself. I am jumping a little ahead of myself. But let's just look at, in that first verse, Paul wrote this to the saints, not sinless people, but people with problems. I mentioned earlier that we may not all be dealing with the same thing, but everybody in here is dealing with something. Whatever that might be you're dealing with, you can take that as a saint, a forgiven person, and give that to the Lord and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I can't begin to tell you that if I wanted to just stay one place in this verse and stay all day, but if I did that, I know I'd be here by myself. It's in Christ. The things that we have in Christ. Years ago, I would not have known how to answer this question, but someone asked a question some years ago. If you were to stand before God, and most of you have heard this, and God says to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Well, let me tell you this. If you are a saint, and that's if you're forgiven, I'm here today to remind you that God will never ask you that question. It is impossible for God to ask a saint, why should I let you into my heaven? Because when we stand before God Almighty, thank God, he doesn't see Ben Small. Thank God, he sees Ben Small in Christ. He sees you in Christ. So when I stand before him, he won't say, why should I let you in? I'm not sure I'll get well done, but I know I'll get welcome. I just thought about that. I won't get well done, most likely, but I'll get welcome because God will see me and God will see you in verse 1, in Christ. That's how we sing the song, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. But we're not just on Christ, we are in Christ, and He's in us. I'm His, and He's mine. Oh, what a blessedness from God. Paul writes to the saints, and that's why you can see right now, we need to understand what we have in Christ, who we are in Christ. Someone says, the Bible says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And you say, how can I be such a thing? How can I be perfect? Well, in Christ, that's how He sees us. Perfect. I have a standing perfect in Christ. He says to us, grace be to you and peace. Look at that. Grace, first of all, God's unmerited favor, God's keeping favor. God doesn't just shed favor on us or shed favor on us and we say, God forgave me. He gave me what I did not deserve. God, we didn't earn it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because I can tell you, there would be some boasting people if you could boast on why you're going into heaven. But we won't. I imagine some people I know, we're going to have some surprises too. And one of those surprises, I think, when we get to heaven, we're going to see people there. And someone may have the audacity or the nerve to say, well, how did you get here? You know, how did you get here, folk? And they said, the same way you did. I've been here for just a little while, and I found out that everybody in this community is here by grace. Never get the idea that we deserve to be here. Do you think for a second I believe that I deserve to be here? Certainly not the best qualified to be here, but I know that this is a grace journey that we're on. I know this is a grace journey that you're on. And in spite of what you have done in your life, good, bad, and different, God looked down and He did some things for us before we did anything, God did some things. But He said, Paul says, grace be to you. And I say it's the saving grace of God and the keeping grace. It takes grace to save us and grace to keep us. It's just a grace journey. And peace. Peace is in a person. The person here of the Godhead, the person of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Peace is always in a person, not in accords, not in armistice. I heard that the Korean War was, we just have armistice, a ceasefire, an agreement. We're still at war in some people's minds. We can't sign bills that bring peace. Most bills don't bring comfort. Because if you can write one, you can break one. But with Christ, there's peace. Paul wrote to these believers, saying, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There in verse 2, again, it's from Jesus, not from us. It's from Him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place. And there it is again, in Christ. We are blessed in Christ.
We are blessed because we are His. We are blessed for no other reason than the fact that God has forgiven us. And we have the opportunity now to bless God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism says the chief end of man is to glorify God. If I'm to glorify God, I have to understand something about God. And what I do understand about God is that God blessed me before I can bless Him. God bless you before you can bless Him. And this, and it almost sounds like He blessed us something in the past. God didn't just bless us. When I remember studying a little Greek. I know a couple of Greek words. But years ago, the Greek, the grammarians used to say, well, that's the aorist tense. And the aorist tense means once and for all. And then other guys come along and teach us, no, that's not what the aorist tense is about. The aorist tense is a fact tense. It happened. God did it. But this idea that we see here, we get the wrong idea when He says, who hath blessed us. God is blessing us. Ask me with what limited sight I have. God is blessing me. I realize now because I wasn't always thankful for the sight. I took it for granted. When I woke up in the morning, I looked in the mirror and sometimes I used to say, you ha'n't no. But I could see. And I just knew that I was blessed. But God keeps on blessing us. And the Bible says with all spiritual blessings. I shared my testimony at the first hour of how many years ago I was blessed by H.A. Ironside's book, In the Heavenlies. When he said that when we get to heaven, when we look back and see our names up there chosen before the foundation of the world, I found out that I was chosen before I did anything. I was chosen and you were chosen before you were even born. Before your parents even knew about you or someone knew about them, God had already chosen. It says here, He chose us in Him. And I'm not going to be able to go down to all of that. But here, He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. My journey into heaven or my trip into heaven will be such that this thing was before the foundation of the world. And He blessed me with all spiritual blessings. When you read Ephesians chapter 1 and see how He predestined us, redeemed us, adopted us, and all the things that God did for us before we did anything, before you did one thing, God had already done all these things for you. I remember when I told Paul, the guy who led me to the Lord, he came by the house one day and I was elated. And I said to Paul, I said, Paul, I thought about this thing. And he says, you thought about what? I said, I'm ready to die. Now, for those psychologists or psychiatrists out there, I've gotten this straight. It's all right with me today. I don't have that wish. But when I found out what I had in Christ, with God blessing me with all spiritual blessings or every spiritual blessing, I told Paul I wanted to die and go to heaven. And he says, that's the lazy way out. That's the coward's way out. You have been blessed with new life, sonship, redeemed, bought by the blood of Christ. And rather than telling others, you want to go. You want to just take off. What if everyone who came before you did the same thing? When Christ prayed in His high priestly prayer, He prayed for not only these, but those who would be saved through their ministry. He prayed for us long before there was an us. And we ought to be busy in this Christian journey realizing how we have been blessed by the things of God and with the things of God and how we are forgiven in spite of who we are and in spite of what we have done. Because Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us when we were messed up. And of course, there's a much more, an a priori argument, a much more argument. If he died for us when we were messed up, what do you think Christ would do for those of us who are his? If he did that when we were messed up, what will he do for those whom he has fixed up? I'll tell you, he already showed us. He gave us the guarantee, the down payment, the earnest of his spirit that one day he's coming back, and he's coming back for a church, spotless. And you say, well, we're not spotless right now, but we just keep going in the ways of God and realizing that when we all stand, we have to stand only in Christ. No, God won't ever ask me, why should I let you in? I believe that with all my heart. He'll see his son first. He is our advocate. He is our peacemaker. He is our redeemer. He is our Lord. And I thank God this day as I look at the book of Ephesians and try to understand all spiritual blessings that he has blessed us with, that we would leave this place encouraged. We would leave this place knowing that we too have to get busy telling others about Christ. If you don't get anything from this message today, have in your heart that I'm going to tell somebody that they too can be in Christ. Father, I just thank you this day. I thank you for being in Christ. No, we are not all that we should be, but Lord, we thank you that we are not what we used to be. And it's all because of what you have done for us in Christ. Bless these, encourage these, challenge these, challenge us, Lord, to leave this place with something to do on our hearts and minds as we go forth in the power of your Spirit, as we go forth with the authority of your word. Lord, we pray this as we are dismissed now in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.